This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm David Remnick, and I'm at home where I've been with far too few breaks for the past 16 months. I record the show from home, have my meetings at home, edit pieces at home, make calls, catch up on reading. Home, home, home. You know the drill. It's a lot of being at home is what I'm saying.
Hello.
Here we are. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. I didn't expect our reunion to be at my apartment. Why not?
Come here, you.
It's good to see you. Sorry for the schlep up the stairs.
So it was truly a joy the other day to go visit with a couple of writers from the magazine for that, you know, wonderful sacrament, the late afternoon cocktail. And we gathered on the roof of Michael Shulman's apartment.
We're going to go upstairs and drink. It's a good way to reconvene.
Along with Helen Rosner.
Oh, hi.
The barkeep. How are you?
It's good to see you.
It's been too long.
Helen writes about food and drink for The New Yorker, so she's professionally qualified to tell us exactly what we should be drinking to toast our reopening world. So I'm on Michael Shulman's rooftop, my good colleague Michael Shulman, who writes about theater and the movies and so much else. And Helen Rosner has brought so much drink and drink equipment. I'm trembling with excitement, and it is also about 175 degrees up here. I think if you took a brisket and put it on this table and came back in the morning, you'd have barbecue.
Yes.
But we're not going to do that. We're going to make drinks, or at least Helen is, and all with the goal of getting us through the summer. Helen, what's the first drink you want to make for us?
So somehow the drink of the summer has become, for like the last couple of years, the Aperol Spritz. And you see them everywhere, like every cafe in the West Village, everywhere. The tables are full of these globe-like glasses full of this neon orange liquid. And people are drinking them. And they think they're happy, but they're not, because Aperol Spritzes are actually terrible. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but I think you can do way better with the European bitter aperitif spritz, right, than you can with Aperol. And you can use pretty much any of the sort of weird aperitif-y things you find at the liquor store, but one of my very favorites is this one. It's called Cynar, C-Y-N-A-R, which is...
I gotta say, it's the nastiest looking label I've ever seen. It's got a big old artichoke on it. It can't be made of artichoke, can it?
It is an artichoke liqueur. It's what you want all of your alcohol to be made out of, right? It's like fermented artichoke.
If you say it should be, I'm all ears.
Really? Here, smell it. It doesn't really taste like artichokes. It has a vibe, but...
Ooh. I just took a big sniff and... Woo is what I have to
say.
It's
herbaceous. It's just like Aperol. It's a little sweet. It's a little bitter. It's got a lot of sort of edge of medicinal herbs to it, but it doesn't have that cloying, sticky cough syrup vibe.
It's a little doctor's office circa 1935.
Yeah, a little bit. So, I think we should make a spritz, a Cynar spritz. So to do that, we're going to fill a glass with ice.
All right. Give me your glass, Michael. My hands are... I've just been on the subway briefly, so they're similar to clean.
I like a hint of subway in my cocktail. That's fine.
It's for you.
Thank you.
And we put in a glug of Cynar.
Like just a glug.
An ounce. It depends on the size of your glass. It depends how much booze you want, how much flavor. The classic spritz, you then top it with some sparkling wine. So we're using a sparkling wine that I really like. It's a rosé. It's from a winery in California called Une Femme, which is all female winemakers, and the wines are glorious and feminist and incredibly delicious. And this is one of their sort of single serving bottles called the Cali. But you could use literally any sparkling wine, cava, prosecco, whatever you want. Top the liqueur with that.
This is an especially teeny weeny bottle of...
Isn't this cute?
Rosé champagne. It looks like a tiny Pepsi bottle.
And then on top of that, to lighten it just a little bit, a splash of club soda or seltzer. And should we put in a garnish? I feel like we should.
Absolutely.
Garnish. I like a savory drink. So if you were going to do an Aperol spritz, you'd probably garnish this with a lemon or an orange. But I'm going to pop in two olives and just a little brine for the hell of it.
Here we go. All right, here we go. Love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
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 Oh, wait, you feel
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Delish, Michael.
Mmm. Tastes like summer.
There are no ads on public radio, Michael. I just thought I'd mention that.
I'm in with Big Chinar, so yeah. They pay me to say things like that. But that is very refreshing.
Michael, hold it up right by... Chinar. It's delicious.
Your summer starts now.
Yeah. There you go. You'll be on a first class flight to
That's
Rome
really
tomorrow.
Good.
So I know nothing about this subject,
yeah.
But I drink Negronis. I don't even know what's in it. What's that? And it's not crazily dissimilar.
Yeah, no, actually, when I make Negronis, I actually use Chinar. So a Negroni is like a classic 1-1-1 drink. It's equal parts of all the ingredients. So it's Campari, which I sub Chinar for. Gin and vermouth, so it's just even ratio of all those three.
So things. Campari, which I'm pretty convinced is cough syrup.
Yeah, you don't have to use it. You can use the Chinar.
I don't want you to get under the impression that I make a Negroni.
You don't make your own Negronis?
You have to understand. I grew up in a house where the quote unquote liquor cabinet. When I was growing up, here's what was in the liquor cabinet: 6 big bottles of Hoffman's ginger ale, and a bottle of something called cherry herring. That my mother once a year would say, you know what? I'd like a drink.
Do you know how to pour liquid from a bottle into a cup?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so do you think you could do that 3 times with 3 different liquids and then pour it into a bigger vessel?
I feel at some level you're not being kind to me, but yeah.
I feel like I think you could do that. I believe in you. I believe in your spirit. I think you could make your own Negroni.
Helen, what have you got for us next?
Pretty much all I have been into drinking this summer has been like, I just want like really crispy beer, like lagers. But I also have a lot of friends who are cutting back on their drinking or who don't drink, and sometimes I don't want to get buzzed. So I've become something of a connoisseur of non-alcoholic beers, and I have become completely converted to the school of thought that the very best thing you can do with non-alcoholic beer, which is not always great, is use it for a beer cocktail.
Where you're putting also non-alcoholic ingredients.
Yeah. So we're going to use non-alcoholic beer. We're going to make a Michelada, which is the classic, in my opinion, the classic
right.
beer cocktail. So Michelada belongs to the grand Mexican tradition of cervezas preparadas, beer with stuff in it. And your basic Michelada, like your basic, I mean, there's a million variations, but you're going to want hot sauce.
I just want to say you did not spare the hot sauce, and God bless you. Some lime, you want me to get you a lime? All right. Lime is the green one, right?
Okay. Could you, do you think you could handle cutting this lime across the equator
for me?
I
can do that.
Okay.
I can do that.
So we're going to squeeze in the lime in this juicer.
And then what's this spice that you're going to put in there?
This is great. And I should have actually, if I had my stuff together, I would have rimmed the glass, so, you know, wet the edge of the glass and poured some of this out on a plate and then made, like, a nice spicy rim. So this is called Stardust, and it's from Rancho Gordo,
right.
The bean guys. And it's their version of a very, very popular blend called Tajin, which you'll find everywhere. It's smoky and deep, and it's got that kind of tanginess from the lime. So it's a chili lime salt blend, and I'm going to add a pinch of that. And then we'll pour in the secret ingredient, Clamato.
Cape Cod in a bottle.
Yes.
So tomato juice with a little clam juice to kind of take the red out of it.
And it adds like a backbone to this beer cocktail that we're making. And then I'll pop open a can of this. It's from Athletic Brewing Company. It's their Upside Dawn Golden Ale. I guess it's a good one.
Does that count as an ad?
In my opinion, with no institutional affiliation, I think this is the best of the non-alcoholic beers that I've tried. Taste that.
Michael, I say this with love. You go first.
Okay.
Okay, here you go.
Mm, oh my gosh. That's got a punch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. It's very cocktail sauce. It's beer meets cocktail sauce in kind of a good way. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there's definitely hot sauce in there.
Helen, that was pretty delicious. How are you going to top that with another one?
I think we should make a piña colada.
I agree. I'm putty in your hands.
It's really hot on this roof.
It's very hot on this roof, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get out of this chair either. So what better than a bunch of rum and fruit and God knows what else goes into a piña colada?
It's really simple, actually. It's a three-ingredient drink. It has this foofy reputation, but okay, so your classic piña colada is pineapple juice. That's the colada in piña colada. Colada means strained, so pineapple juice. So we're going to deviate from that a little bit. This is going to be our one adaptation. We're going to use fresh pineapple.
Yeah, you made a supermarket stop. We have beautiful fresh pineapple here.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to hand you the blender.
Okay.
The blender vessel. Okay, fill in ice. As much
ice.
Here's
some ice. Got it.
Okay, I'm going to throw in some pieces. You don't even have to cut up the pineapple because it's going to be blended.
Right.
Okay, so we did our nod to like freshness and real fruit. Instead of using canned pineapple juice, we used real pineapple. But we're going to go absolutely the other direction with the coconut. And we are going to use...
Coco Goya, cream of coconut. The real stuff, not so real, but with lots of extra sugar added, I hope.
So this is like... it's actual coconut milk, but it's like 50% sugar, right? They add just so much sugar to this, the texture becomes almost like custard. It's like condensed milk, but coconut.
Sounds delicious.
And then the rum. Let's just dump in some rum.
Rum, we got some Havana Club.
Yeah, so this is it's a Puerto Rican cocktail, and we're using Cuban rum.
Cuban rum, it's the real Magilla from Cuba.
Yeah.
And there was a time you'd get arrested for that, but not anymore.
But I feel like, you know, one of the most important deals with cocktails is you've just got to use the bottle that you have. I'm going to throw in some more pineapple. You know, the crazy thing about pineapple is, like, it's so, enzymatic. People, like, you can use it as a meat
enigmatic
tenderizer.
Or?
Enzymatic.
So lots of enzymes,
you can use it as a meat tenderizer. If you have, you can use pineapple juice. It digests you back. Like, if you eat pineapple, it's so acidic and so... It's just a race to who can digest who first.
That sounds really gross.
Can I unhear that somehow? It's disgusting.
It's like it's brushing your teeth for you. And that's the best spin I can put on that.
Okay.
All right.
All right, let's go blend.
Let's go blend. I'll do the blending. Should I do the blend? All right. All right. Michael?
Wait, hold on. Before you drink, I brought... So traditionally, we would throw some maraschino cherries on this, but in my philosophy of use what you've got, I don't have any maraschino cherries, but I do have these, which are...
Little umbrellas!
Yeah.
It is now officially a party, and it's summer.
Oh, that is so incredibly good.
Michael, the look of happiness on your face is
not to be described. Can you come back?
Well, Helen, I have to say, it's the highlight of my year and a half to see you guys, and it's the highlight of my summer to have this drink out on these four drinks out on this rooftop that I don't know that I'm going to be leaving very soon. I think, basically, I'm staying here for hours.
Yeah, no, stay.
We got enough booze to carry us
for a while.
Let's
just have the magazine here.
let's toast to our bartender.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.